This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. This month, NPR is launching a new show that investigates the invisible forces, the ideas and beliefs and assumptions and habits and thoughts that guide human behavior. It's called Invisibilia, and here is a clip from the pilot episode that challenges common assumptions about being blind.
All right, Ms. Spiegel, so I know that sometimes neurology and neuroscience
goes over my head.
Or just sounds like a foreign language that you're not particularly interested in speaking.
Uh-huh.
But
just land the plane for me.
Okay.
What does this mean?
What this work suggests is that you may not actually need eyes to see.
You can listen to Invisibilia on NHPR starting on Sunday, January 18th at 9 o'clock on our Best of Public Radio time slot. And joining us now to talk about the program are the co-creators and hosts of the program, Elise Spiegel and Lulu Miller. Lulu hails from NPR's Science Desk and is one of the founding producers of Radiolab, where she worked for 5 years and continues to serve as contributor for the show. Lulu, hello.
Hello.
And Elise Spiegel has worked on NPR Science Desk for 10 years, covering psychology, human behavior, and is one of the founding producers and a current contributor to This American Life. Elise, great to talk with you.
Hi.
So give us the Invisibilia elevator pitch, unless I already did.
You did very well.
Okay.
You did very well.
Can you expand? What's the show about?
So it is about all these invisible forces that are controlling or shaping or influencing your behavior. And each hour we look at a different force. So that may seem a little abstract, but these are sort of very real concrete things that social scientists, psychologists, you know, bench scientists are looking at in a variety of ways. So, for example, our first episode is on thoughts. And the question on that episode is, if a thought passes through my head, and let's say it might be a particularly dark thought, does that have any relation to my inner wishes or desires?
Mm-hmm.
And basically the first show starts off with this guy who has this experience where, you know, he's a perfectly kind of normal guy, and then he sits down and he watches the movie, and immediately after the movie, which is a very violent movie,
he watches City of God.
City of God. Right. Yeah. And all of a sudden, he is just inundated with these incredibly dark thoughts, including one that is very disturbing to him, which is the thought that he is going to, or he wants to, murder his wife. And he doesn't know have I had a psychotic break? Am I going to genuinely harm someone? And so we kind of use him as a way of, we look at this man who really needs to understand in a real way how to think about his thoughts. And we use that to look at how psychotherapy has thought about your thoughts and the evolution of that over the last 30 years, hopefully in a way that will allow people to kind of think differently about their own thoughts.
Well, that is my question. I mean, it's deeply psychological. You're both science reporters. So how do you illustrate these kind of ineffable, invisible aspects of human behavior?
Well, I mean, I think the real answer to that is we go to a very extreme example where the stakes are very, very clear. And then we use that to kind of draw people in and allow them to see the kind of dynamics of what's going on. And then
we go to professionals who've been trying to study this for decades.
Yeah.
And often what will happen is that there's not always a clear answer. What we'll sometimes show is that, you know, here is one take on it, and here is historically what's been shown to happen, and here's another take. And we try our best to go to people who've dedicated their professional lives to answering those questions.
Yeah.
Both of you come from public radio shows that have kind of set a gold standard in some way with for storytelling, you know, as journalism, as sound-rich storytelling, but very different shows. So I'm wondering how what you learned working on This American Life and Radiolab, respectively, is going to come through in this show.
So this is Lulu. I think one of the biggest differences is that in the two shows is that This American Life often starts with a script, and a lot of the edits are done on paper. And Radiolab often starts with a conversation, a completely unscripted conversation that you then cut down and kind of bring tape through. And so we've both been experimenting with both of these forms. So I've been sort of forcing Elise to throw away the script and like just be herself and talk. And she's been forcing me to like maybe try to organize some of my ideas through writing first. And I think the product is somewhere in between. There are moments of unscripted, there are moments of scripted, and it's been a really sort of fun and at times challenging process, actually, to kind of play
integrate
with the two techniques.
Well, now you're in a little bit of a startup, but you've come from these phenomenally successful shows. Does it feel like some invisible, may I say, pressure?
Does it feel like invisible pressure? That's a good question.
I would say...
Are you going to say yes?
I
don't know. I mean, like, for me, this is Elise talking. I don't know. Do I feel like there's pressure? I have to say I kind of just have been focused on – I don't know. Like, I feel like we actually genuinely are having a lot of fun in our show.
Yeah.
And, like, for me, the kind of process is the end. It like in a weird way. So I feel like I'm kind of happy with what we've done, and I feel very proud of the work that we've done, and I hope that people will like it.
And I do think, regardless of craft, like the stories and the people we talk to are there. Sometimes there are ideas that aren't always let out into the light, and that alone, even if there's nothing too fancy production wise, is like that's what I'm really excited about and focused on.
How about for listeners? Are you trying out ideas that would not fit in This American Life or Radiolab, or taking ideas and just giving them the invisibilia treatment, I guess?
Well, I mean, I think we're doing some things that would not go on either of those shows. And we're still very much, you know, in the process of experimenting with it. I mean, we have this season that people are about to hear. And if you listen carefully, you can kind of hear an evolution from the first show to the last show, and you can see us changing, and there are stories on our show that I don't think would end up on either of those shows.
You do have similar voices. You both identified yourself at various different points. Something that you've obviously thought about, because you actually warn us at the top of the pilot. You may say where our voices. So. How are you working with that? You know, no one was clearly forced to put on an English accent or Southern.
Although that's a very good idea. We did dabble
in that, Virginia, but we were advised not to, based on our ability. I think we do identify ourselves from time to time, but then at a certain point, we were like, well, people, does it matter that much? Hmm. Like, it's I think that sometimes it's okay if it just runs over you that there are these two ladies telling you some things, and when it's important to know who's who, we tell you. But we actually got the feedback that from a lot of people that they didn't actually need to know who it was.
It's that Lulis.
Yeah.
Well, you are two ladies, right?
Your
public radio and podcasts have been mostly male-centric in terms of hosts, anyway. And certainly in science journalism, do you guys consider yourself the lady pioneers?
Well, I don't know. I feel like we, as a science journalist, I feel like we have a perspective that I haven't necessarily heard articulated in quite the way that we are articulating it.
I think there is one thing Elise brings after 10 years of reporting on mental health is, I guess, just the sentence that an emotion is a real thing and is a valid thing to talk about, study, and interview people about. And I think, of course, there are other journalists who do that, but I think that's kind of a central quality of the show that you'll notice, that emotions are treated just like any molecule would be treated on a show about chemistry. Like, it's a very real thing.
Elise Spiegel and Lulu Miller, hosts of the new NPR show Invisibilia. NHPR is going to be airing the first 6 episodes beginning on January 18th at 9. We've also got a link to their website, which includes clips from upcoming shows, at our website, wordofmouthradio.org. Thank you so much for your listening time today. There is much more to hear and to explore at wordofmouthradio.org. Earlier in the show, we talked with a former Onion editor about the kind of thinking and discussions that went into that fake news source's editorial processes and planning. And we'd love to hear from you. Do you think satire has to be funny? What is the difference between satire and provocation and offensiveness? Would Charlie Hebdo's covers and content work here in the U.S., or should they? And have you declared, Je suis Charlie? We invite you to the online public square on Facebook and on Twitter to enter into dialogue with other listeners. The best use of word of mouth that I can think of. I'm Virginia Prescott. Please join us for more word of mouth tomorrow at 2, right here on New Hampshire Public Radio.